This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to another Tour Life. Today is Tuesday, February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day, Yuli. Ooh. We'll get into that in a second. But today we have three of the four All-Star captains joining the show. Calvin Heimberg, Isaac Robinson, and Missy Gannon will also be joining the show to talk all things All-Star Weekend. Because to be honest, Yuli, I have no idea what's going on. Hopefully they do. We've got the new qualifying series, the Q series, just announced by the Disc Golf Pro Tour. We're going to talk all about that. Do we like it? Do we hate it? Do they need to tweak some things? We've got a new DGN subscription tier model, three different tiers, different pricing. Some get benefits, some don't. What do we think about that? We got the wild story of the week. We've got Edwin Stats back with another banger, and then we'll finish it off with the listener questions. But before we get into all of that, today is sponsored. I don't even know how this was a terrible intro into the sponsor ad read, but we have a sponsor, Yuli. We have a sponsor. It is Manscaped. 2024 is here in full swing, and that means it's time for a New Year's resolution check-in with our friends at Manscaped. Newsflash, it's never too late to level up your grooming game and keep yourself tamed. Manscaped's new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're going for a trim or that clean-shaven look, this trimmer has you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, now is your time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code BANNER for 20% off plus free shipping. Let me introduce the MVP of 2024, Manscaped's fifth generation lawnmower. It's not just a trimmer, it's your grooming sidekick. Equipped with two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. And did we mention it's waterproof? Because a trim in the shower is the only way to start your day. Resolutions might come and go, but a well-groomed you is here to stay thanks to Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BANNER at manscaped.com. Embrace a new you and definitely embrace a new trimmer courtesy of Manscaped. How's it going, brother?
Man, it's good. Where are you at? I don't recognize that backdrop.
Yeah.
You got too many things back there.
I'm in Dallas. I completely repositioned a lot of this room. This used to be solely my Frisbee room. It is now my Frisbee room / card room. So multi-purpose.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Pulled any cool cards lately?
Yeah, we pulled a couple big ones. We opened a couple of hobby boxes. We got a J.K. Dobbins rookie patch, not rookie patch auto, but patch auto, which was pretty cool. But we've got this on tap. We're going to be opening some absolute mega boxes.
Okay.
And we're going to go kaboom hunting. We'll see how that goes.
Love it. Yeah, no, I'll just go into my week real quick. It was pretty interesting. Flew to Idaho, Boise.
Yep.
Ran my Ulibarri Safari. We filled the tournament, which was awesome.
That's sick.
Did
you eat potatoes out there?
What's that?
Potatoes?
Oh, yeah. Lots of potatoes, lots of steak.
Can you tell the difference out there or not really?
Oh yeah, it's a big time difference. Everybody's got to go out to Idaho to catch their fresh baked potatoes.
Because I know in Wisconsin, when you get like the cheese curds and some other of this like cheese products up in Wisconsin, you can tell the difference. So I didn't know if it, I didn't know if potatoes held the case.
I don't know. I had a bunch of steaks, and the mashed potatoes with my steaks were bomb. I know that. I know that's fact. But no, the tournament went well. Everybody was super stoked about it. Really cool. Really cool players packs for the Yams. They got a bunch of freaking discs in there and some cool Ledgestone gear. I mean, it was awesome. Got back, let's see, about 1 a.m. last night. Got here, went out, got a little field work session. Hung out with my buddy Josh Robinson at the golf course. Hit a couple putts, hit a couple chips. Hung out in the clubhouse. So that's all I've got going on, man. Pretty simple stuff.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Of course.
Was it painful or were you rooting for the Chiefs?
It was painful.
It was painful. Like the 49ers should have won that game.
I bet on the Chiefs because I always said if the Chiefs are ever underdogs, I'm going to bet on them. Mm-hmm. And they just pay out really good when that happens. So I did bet on them. But man, I'm a big Brock Purdy fan. He's like a guy's guy, a normal guy's guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And then down the stretch, it was like he was a guy's guy. he got blitzed, and he just didn't know what to do with it. And
he didn't
play
bad. He didn't play bad, but there were a couple key moments where he had to make the throw.
And he didn't.
And he didn't. Like, there was the one with Debo. Now, Debo, I don't know what ended up happening with him. It looked like I thought he tore his hamstring.
Same.
And so I thought he was done. And then he came back out and he was like running routes. So there was a pass that he overthrew to Debo. There was a couple other throws here and there where he's like, you got to make that play. And he just didn't. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes on the other side where it's like, he just seemed he was either making the right throws coming down the stretch or he was picking it up with his feet too. And I mean,
he's just the best player in the world, man.
It's one of those teams that's like really hard to root for, so I don't root for them. I will say I'm happy that we can't bet in Texas because Kelsey was wanting to throw a lot of money on the 49ers. And I would have let her, and we would have lost it all. So now we can buy more cards to card boxes to open. But it was
weird because like McCaffrey just dominated. He just
the first half
and the second half he was getting down there. They just got stalled out when it was Purdy time. They got stalled out. Yeah. Listen, they had Kittle blocking. You need to let that dude loose, man. That's one of your weapons. It was just like this one offensive mindset of McCaffrey, Debo in the corner, trying to go to Hardman. It was just like. All these different people were making big plays and Purdy just couldn't find the right guy. I mean, at least when you watch Patrick, he's finding Hardman. He's finding those dudes. He's like, I don't know, man. He's like that camera above that just sees it all. It's crazy.
Yeah. I couldn't quite understand what was going on. It was frustrating to watch.
The 49ers didn't even know how the overtime went. Come on.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you ever decide to take the ball there. I feel like winning the toss, you 100% go second.
Defer.
So that you know what you need to do. Like,
you didn't know the rules, dude.
Well, to be fair, some of the Chiefs players didn't know either because they didn't know they won the game, a few of them, when they scored that touchdown.
That's fine. So they're both bad. I don't understand how that's not a thing.
But why? I mean, I don't know. The overtime rules were very weird. Why do you have a clock? I mean, I thought I was freaking out. I was like, they need to hurry up. Time's running out.
They didn't need to hurry up, did they?
No, they didn't.
That's so
because
weird.
Because you go into the second
the same
quarter.
Thing. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Why do you have a clock?
I thought Reed was running a trick play for the clock to run out and then them not getting set. So my mind was racing.
I don't know, man. It was wild.
Super Bowl's
but,
crazy, dude.
Super Bowl's always.
That's what my wife said. She said it's rigged. It's predetermined. She said if the Chiefs win, it's predetermined.
Gosh.
And then I'm like, oh my
it's gotta
gosh,
be so
she's
hard.
Right.
It's gotta be so hard to do that. In some tour life news this week, Edwin Stats shirt released. I don't know if Silas has the quick fingers to potentially throw that up on the screen, but we got some Edwin Stats merch, a couple different designs on the site right now. And I got to tell you, they are pretty nice. Edwin actually sent one of the designs himself, which I thought was very impressive. But yeah, go check that out. The battle between Edwin's, or no, I was going to say Edwin Stats, but it might be the battle between Edwin Stats and Griplocked. The battle between Tour Life and Griplocked is still going strong. I see Yuli's got the sweet Tour Life shirt there.
Check it.
So go check it out.
Thing's fire, dude.
Yeah, that's a sick shirt.
I like the colors. I love black. Black and white is my thing.
We've got a social media Grant also sent me a couple new potential products that I think are pretty fire too. So maybe we'll get those on the store this week as well. There we go. We've got some Edwin Stats merch right there. That looks like the mustard yellow version of that. All right. Before we, anything else, Silas? We normally don't even ask. I feel bad. We actually don't even ask Silas. Why don't we ever ask Silas how's his week?
Let's ask Silas.
Yeah, Silas, how was your week, man?
Hey, my week was good. I'm not much of the betting person, but I will say Trevor made me sign up for all these betting apps. You know, you bet, you deposit $5, you get 200 in bonus bets. So I had to sign up for like five of them. I made $505 off the Super Bowl. I'm a happy man right now.
Oh my gosh, Silas.
Off of $5?
Well, you had to deposit like $5 in each of them. And then I just hedged them against each other and it's guaranteed money. It was great. It was great.
That's awesome. Good for you,
Trevor,
man. You're
showed
one
me
of
the
only
way.
Ones.
It was amazing.
Now, are you taking that money out of the apps, or are you letting it ride?
Yeah. I'm taking it out. It's a one and done. It's a one and done for me. Maybe I'll get back into it though.
Well, what about the crazy situation where they do the touchdown, 3 seconds left, and they don't kick the field goal?
What?
Or the extra point.
Oh, at the end of the game?
And it cost, it was the spread.
Oh, it was the spread.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. But I mean, everyone knows that's how it works.
Is it? No. Nobody knows how it works. No, nobody knows how overtime works, bro.
Why do you have to kick a field goal there? The game's, you've won. So
wasn't there time left, though?
No, but once.
Once they win, I got you.
Teams have possession. Yeah. So. All right, without further ado, we have two captains, two of the all-star captains. They're here. We've got Calvin and Isaac both with us. I see Calvin here. We'll see if we can pull Isaac in as well.
Calvin's growing that do out, bro.
There we go. We got them
getting
both.
Ready for the season.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
I don't see Isaac.
You don't see Isaac slowly his I don't know if this program can handle four. We're going to make it work, though. Silas, how are we doing over there? There we go. Yuli, see everyone?
I do, yeah.
Okay, everyone can hear us? Sweet. We did it. This is our first time having four people on. So congrats, gentlemen. Also, congrats on your captaincy.
Thank you.
How much time and effort went into the actual draft on your guys' part?
Way more than it should have. Time one where we tried to do it, we had technical difficulties.
Oh, I'm not talking about the actual production side. I'm talking about you guys on did you guys have a draft board? Are you running like calculations on who should play with who? Like what?
Were you guessing who's picking who first? Like he's taking him for sure. I'm going to go here.
I know I was.
You were. Okay. Calvin?
I was not. I wasn't.
Of course not.
The most time I spent was in production. And failed production attempts, but we eventually got it, and I drafted someone that wasn't even playing in the end, so you could say I did good.
Here's the thing, I feel, oh no, that's not true. Is that true? You drafted somebody that wasn't playing? That's amazing.
He was on the list. He was on the list. It was okay. Eagle, but
He ends up dropping out.
That makes sense.
Dropping.
All right, well, take us through who's your guys' teams.
Here, I'll list them off so that way it's easy because I got the list right here.
Do you have them in draft order, Brody?
I believe. I mean, I have them in the order that the Disc Golf Pro Tour posted them. So is that in draft order? I'm going to go ahead out and limb and say no, it's not. Why would they do that? But here we go. We're going to try our best. So here's Team Isaac. We've got Ezra Robinson, Gannon Burr, Cole Radalin, Kyle Klein, Aaron Gossage. Team Calvin is Ricky Wysocki, Matt Orem, Anthony Barella, James Proctor, and Chris Dickerson, who is the replacement for Eagle.
Okay. Isaac keeps coming in and out. He gone.
No, I think we can still hear. Silas, can everyone still hear Isaac?
Well, yeah.
Well,
I see him.
I lost him now.
Lost him completely.
There he is.
I've been able to see Isaac this entire time.
It's like draft day number one all over again.
I mean, this is already advantageous to Team Calvin. If we're putting bets down, the guy that can get the Wi-Fi situation, I got to go with Team Calvin here, Yuli.
I'm always going to go with Team Calvin. You know why?
Why?
My only all-star appearance. I was on Calvin's team, and he led us to the promised land. I lost very badly. Very, very badly in all the events.
It was a team effort. We all...
We coasted, and even with Eagle making the craziest putt I've ever seen till this day.
I can't believe you made that putt. That was a wild, wild putt. All right, I think we got Isaac back. All right, my first question to Calvin. Calvin, was there any, I mean, I think you already answered this, but I do want to ask again. Was there any thoughts of potentially drafting certain people that could really throw off? I mean, I think there is potentially like someone that Isaac would really want on his team. Was there any thoughts of trying to snag that person that might have like the same bloodline as Isaac Robinson for your team?
Oh, okay. Until the last sentence, I thought you were talking about Ricky Wysocki, but I don't know. I just kind of picked the board based on who was available, and you know, he wasn't there when I would have picked him. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, there was no head games going on there, but you know, Isaac didn't, you know, he didn't save him for last or anything. I mean, I think I forget exactly where he picked him. It might have been his third pick. I think he picked Cole Radalin. No, it was his fourth pick. I think he went Gannon, Cole. No, he went Gannon, Kyle, Cole, and then his brother. But
Isaac, were you worried about not being able to get your brother on the team and having to go against them?
Uh-oh.
This dude locks up under pressure.
I mean, this is a catastrophe for Team Isaac here. I mean, this cannot be a good omen going into the All-Star event at all.
I think really what happened was is I just picked the old people and he picked the young people.
It kind of looks that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks like Gossage, I think, is the oldest person on that team.
He's what, 25 maybe?
26? I'm not exactly sure, but that's a guess.
That's a wild card right there. Nobody knows how old Aaron Gossage is.
Where'd he come from?
It could be 22 or 35. We don't know, dude.
All right, we're going to continue to try to get Isaac in here. The battle is hopefully this is a harder battle for Isaac than the actual All-Star event coming up. But do you guys have any idea what's going on with these like special like people? Are there special people coming in for events still? Because they talked about that, but I don't have any information on that. Is Isaac with one of them? He just looked at someone. Is he a special guy?
I think he's come.
Wait, so is Alden in the All-Star event for something? Where is this announced?
You're not good to go. you're not good to go at all.
I think the Disc Golf Pro Tour is trying to cut Isaac's internet out here to not give out the details. I don't know, Silas. You gotta tell us because I've been able to hear Isaac this entire time, so I don't know.
I think we might need to boot Isaac and then like bring him in with just audio.
The Disc Golf Pro Tour is trying to hack Isaac's internet situation right now.
I think Isaac's hacking this right now. He's taking over.
Okay, Calvin, do you know any information on who else is competing in that isn't an all-star, but is competing in the all-star event?
I know nothing about that. I think I briefly heard someone talk about it when I was at the course the other day. And
have you seen anyone there?
It was news to me then.
Like, is David Wiggins just like roaming around and you're like, why is David Wiggins here? It's like, oh, he's competing in the distance contest.
I didn't see David Wiggins, but you know, if I did, I mean, why is he there? He's just going to beat all of us, except maybe Anthony. It's like Anthony and him are the only two. Like, what are the rest of us doing? But no, I'm not exactly sure who they added to the skills competitions. I'm not actually completely sure what the format of the skills competitions are this year.
Here's the thing. Nobody knows anything about the whole entire All-Star thing. Nobody knows anything. I don't know.
I think Isaac knows something. Isaac was trying to say something before.
He knows, but he's not allowed to tell. He keeps getting cut off.
He signed an NDA.
This is the first. I didn't even know Yuli was in this podcast up until this point. I haven't
seen that. Oh god!
I'm actually in Florida, dude. I'm coming in for the distance competition. What's up? What's up, kid?
Those Z-Lite nukes.
I almost put Yuli in the distance competition when he was on my team in All-Stars.
That would have been the worst thing you ever did to me in my entire life.
All right, Isaac, so what's the deal? Who else is competing in these special spots?
So I know Alden has a spot in shot shaping or like skill shot or something. I haven't really been told much about it. I know I'm in putting. But I found that out, I think, through Alden. So I don't know. I don't know where this information is coming from or who's giving it out. But I haven't really seen a whole lot. So
hey, make sure you guys buy your Disc Golf Network subscriptions for $99.99. It's gonna be one heck of a show this weekend. Must watch TV for sure. Okay, so do you guys know how the it's going down? Like, I saw the doubles just get announced, and I think maybe we can pull that up as far as like who's the doubles. How did the doubles come about? Did you guys go back and forth, or how was that selected?
I think I know I got to select my doubles teams. I didn't know what Calvin picked. We kind of did that on our own, I think. So I just put together the people that I thought would be good. And
how are you doing the matchups?
I think it's by seeding, I believe. So I think I would be number 2 seed, and then my partner, you know, brother would be, I guess, the number 12 seed or whatever seed he was. And that combined.
So you couldn't actually pick your own team then?
Wait, so you couldn't actually say, because when you initially said seeding, I thought it would make sense for them to be like, this is the top seed, the second, and the third. And so that way, you put your best two here, Calvin puts his best two here, or you're like, I'm going to put my worst two here and just hopefully Calvin puts his best two and like then we win the other two. But you're saying you just pick the three matchups and then just it works out the way it works out?
No, we got to pick the teams. I think the head-to-head matchups, right? So the way it looks
that's
like
– that's the most important part.
I think Ezra and I will be playing Calvin and Proctor. But we picked those teams on our own.
But neither you or Calvin decided that those two teams were going to be playing against each other.
No.
That's wild.
Oh, wow.
That's wild.
No, there was no strategy there. My teams were picked by a group chat where I asked if anyone wanted to play anyone with anyone. No one responded for a long time. Eventually, I got a text from Anthony saying that Ricky really wanted to play with him, but Rick wasn't going to answer in the group chat about that or something. So I put those two together, and then I put the other four names in a random team generator app, and that's how we got the last two teams.
Do you guys think it would be easier for this whole process if there was two captains that just didn't play? And they facilitated all the matchups. I feel like that would make sense to me. That way there's no biased opinion about like, okay, I want to play with this person or I don't, you know what I mean? And then you guys are kind of hands off and you're just going out and playing. I feel like that makes the most sense. Instead of like a playground like a pickup tough game of basketball is what I felt like this is.
Yeah, that could certainly work. I don't know. I still think I just find when this event is still very strange to me. Like you have an all-star event from the prior year to start the next year. And it's just I go into the event like not thinking of it as really much of something to win. I'm there. I get to see everyone for the first time in like 4 months. And
Isaac, I think this is a head game coming at you, dude. He doesn't care, kind of.
I know, which is weird because I care. I care a lot. I'm there to win. I'm not there to goof around. So
I'm sorry to ask this question because I know you guys have so much information that the Disc Golf Pro Tour has given you. So I know it's. I don't want you to rack your brains here. What do you get if you win?
Ooh, I don't know.
That is a great question. I think we get...
What are we doing here, Yuli? What are we doing here?
I think we get $500.
Oh, here's what I know. When I did the All-Star event like a few years back, everybody got money but me. And we won. I got no money. It says I got goose egg on my thing and my team won. I got nothing, dude. That's straight up going, the truth.
Going off of what Calvin was saying a little bit about the timing of this event, I think initially when the timing makes no sense, but before it was like, hey, come out to Phoenix or come out to Scottsdale or we're doing it in Orlando and it's like a nice fun thing for the All-Stars, right? The timing still didn't make sense, but now it seems even lazier that they're like, no, we're actually just going to do it at the same event that the first event's at, to where it's nothing special. You're not playing like to me, that seems crazy that they're doing it. Like, what were your guys' thoughts on it going at the same course? Like, you're going to play this course to start the season next week. Are you a fan of it or not a fan?
Well, and did you like it better, Calvin, in Tucson as like a separate event?
Yeah, I think it was cool going out to a separate venue and getting the chance to play and kind of, you know, getting to see a different fan base out there. We don't really get to play out there anymore, but I mean, I don't know. It is also really nice now that it starts, you know, an hour and 10 minutes from where I live. So it's hard.
A little biased.
It's hard to really hate on that, but
all right.
I do think it's cool when it's its own separate thing. I think it's, I mean, the point is to kind of draw, you know, more people in and maybe from different areas. And when you sit and you kind of draw from the same people back to back weekends, I don't know. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of people interested in showing up the second weekend. And like, I don't know if there's going to be that much interest in people showing up this weekend.
Okay, so I'm going to say two things. First thing is, I'm glad that it's happening. I'm glad that there is an all-star event. I think it can be a great event. I really do. Once they figure out all the wrinkles and smooth them all out, eventually this is going to be an amazing tournament. It might be this weekend. It might just be, like, spectacular. We don't know yet because it hasn't happened. The second thing is if I were doing it, I would want it to be, like, exactly halfway through the season, just, like, all other sports, to where like you make the all-star based on your performance halfway through the season. You have a sweet event where everybody can take a break, go to this place, have a big celebration of the players or whatever, and then disperse for the rest of the season. That's what I would say. But either way, I'm stoked that it's happening. I'm excited to watch it this weekend, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But we keep like giggling and making fun of the fact that nobody knows what's going on. But I still think in where disc golf is right now, that's just kind of the way that it is sometimes with some of these things. And it's just like these growing pains that we got to kind of work with. But I'm excited that you guys get to do this and we get to see the best players from last year be showcased at an event because they deserve it.
Yeah.
Any idea on the single matches? Do you guys get to pick those?
I think that'll be the same. It's going to be based on how you were seated before. So like I will play Isaac and then Rick would play Gannon. And then I think Matt would probably end up playing Kyle Klein. It just depends on where you were seated, or it might just be like your draft pick order as well. I'm not exactly sure, but
okay. It's probably going to be one of those two. Much.
I mean, I do know it's, I think the scoring as far as like who's going to win is going to be similar to past years to where like the doubles matchups are all worth a point. And then every singles matchup is worth a point. So there's more points available on Sunday than Saturday. And then I think the only difference this year was all the skills events. I don't think those count for.
Yeah. Do you guys like that that's separated now? Those don't accumulate into the matches. Are you guys a fan of that?
I'm a fan. I think that's good.
I don't know. It was really fun drafting people and having to decide exactly where you were going to put them in skills competition before you knew what the rest of your team was.
Oh, that's really, right. You had to draft someone and immediately say what they were going to do.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I like that too. Well, Isaac, you haven't said much.
That's also the only. That's the only time that you guys are really all a team, too. Right. If like someone's putting, that's the only time that all you guys as a team are there. Because now you're going to go out in your matches, you're not going to see anyone. But
no.
Go ahead, Yuli. You had a question for Isaac?
Yeah, no, I was just going to ask Isaac, like, what are your feelings going into the weekend? You said that you care a lot. So have you been captaining your team up, talking to them? How are you guys feeling? What's going on? Or has it just been like, you know, hands off, pick my team, go out there and do your thing?
A bit of hands off. I think Gannon messaged me and said, "Oh no, my God." Gannon messaged me today and said, "Your doubles teams are the worst."
Oh no, we didn't hear anything except for your doubles teams are the worst.
No, he said Gannon. I think messaged him today.
is he talking about my doubles teams?
I don't know if he said Gannon said someone's doubles teams are the worst. I don't know whose team.
Say that again, Isaac.
Okay, Gannon messaged me today and said I did a terrible job at picking the doubles teams, which I thought they were pretty good. I'm happy with them.
All right, let me and Brody pick. Let's pull up a couple of doubles teams, and let's just judge a little bit, Brody. That'll be fun.
We don't even know the matchups.
No, it doesn't matter. Just pull them up and see who they partnered up with, and let's see where they let.
I mean, what are we doing? Calvin and James, that's a really good team. AB and Ricky, wow, that's a really good team. Matty O and Chris Dickerson, wow, those guys are really good.
Right,
that's a good team.
Over to the other side.
Isaac and Ezra Robinson, we played those guys in doubles. They're really freaking good. Oh, Kyle Klein and Gannon Burr, holy crap, those guys are really good. Cole Rodolin and Aaron Gossage, oh my gosh, those guys are really good.
Can't see.
All right, okay, yeah, that was a little. I'm sensing a bit of sarcasm from Brody.
What do you want me to do? All these guys are good.
All right, let me go in there.
Yeah, you go in there.
I'm just saying, I'm looking at the Aaron Gossage matchup, and I think you should have put Gannon with him. That's what I'm saying.
Kyle Klein, Cole.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let Gannon pick up the slack of the lackluster putting from Aaron.
Cole's a really good putter.
Not as good as Gannon, is he?
Cole's a good putter.
I don't know.
Is he as good as Gannon?
I don't know. Cole might have gotten better the last two months.
Who's a better putter, Gannon or Cole? Don't be silly, guys. All of us know the answer.
Gannon's putting with new plastic.
Oh my gosh, Brody, you're being ridiculous right now. It's not close. I'm just saying, I'm kind of with Gannon on this.
Okay, what do you guys think of the course? What do you guys think of the course?
Yeah. It's a really good putter. No, it's really good.
I've gotten out there a couple times, and I'm liking it. It's playing tougher than it has in the past. There are definitely some really long par threes, and I don't know. As a whole, I think it'll be a good test at the beginning of the season. There's
same layouts, or are they doing a different layout for All-Star?
I think the All-Star is a different layout. We got an email on that. I just haven't read the layout yet. So
that's cool.
But I think the All-Stars will be slightly different than what you'll be seeing for the actual tournament. There's some gorilla holes and some combo holes, from what I heard.
Edwin Stats just wants to let everyone know that Gannon's C1X putting was 87% last year, and Cole's C1X putting was 85%. Gannon from
C2,
Gannon was 40%, Cole was 27%.
Oh, those are close.
That's a big difference. Isaac, do you have anything to say, Isaac?
I think he disconnected.
You keep disconnecting at the wrong time, bro. That's so funny.
You gotta get all those guys in your Airbnb off of Minecraft, brother. I'm taking all the bandwidth from you.
Oh, man.
Are you in Brooksville right now?
No, I'm not at home. I am in a place with apparently terrible service.
Yeah, but where are you right now? Are you up in Brooksville?
No, I'm still in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
In Woodstock.
Okay. All right.
Do you like the course, Isaac?
I do. I played it once 3 years ago. And had a blast. It was great.
Wait, this goes to the guy saying he cares a lot about this event? This event starts in a couple days.
Oh.
He's played the course 3 years ago.
Turlap came into just roasting poor Isaac Steve, man. This is tough.
At least he knows
that he has Alden on his team. Freaking Calvin doesn't even know who he's got going against him.
Wait. Alden's not on his team.
For the skill shot.
I don't know whose team Alden
is. Skills is all individual. Skills is all individual.
Oh. So there's no So there's no team. He's just the guy for skills.
He's trying to win shot shaper.
Three point content or dunk contest. Cool.
He's trying to be the best shot shaper.
Yeah, that's my bad. That's cool.
Yeah. I think if he wins, he gets this jersey. Which, if anyone is interested, Silas, if you want to pull this up, Trevor is really excited. He said, can't wait to get to order my All-Star jersey for the All-Star event. Looks like I'll get it in early April. So if you're super excited and you want to support your team, You can order your All-Star jersey and get it in April.
All right. Let's reel it back, boys. Let's reel it back a little.
All right, you go.
Yeah.
It is a sick jersey, though. I do have to say, Calvin, sick. Do you have your jersey yet, Calvin?
Worth the wait.
No, I will get my jersey tomorrow during my media day.
Okay.
So I will get them then, but I do not currently have them.
Is that going to be on the Disc Golf Network media day?
I'm not sure if that's going to be like live broadcasted. I think a lot of what the media day is.
That comes with the pro membership.
Okay.
The DGN pro.
I don't know what that is. Okay.
Thank you, Isaac.
No, but I think a lot of the media day stuff that we do here before All Stars typically is stuff they use for like some of their fancy graphics while they're doing the streams. Like they've done like weird light show things and I don't know if you guys have ever
seen it.
A lot of that, a lot of that, like, photography and stuff was done, like, the prior year at All-Stars. So I think that's mostly what's happening tomorrow.
Makes sense, too. You get, like, the biggest names, and you have them, you know, do all the cool stuff. So that way, when they're on Lee Card or something in a tournament, you have, like, a cool graphic to show. I actually like that a lot.
They're getting their content ready for...
I'm curious. Question for both of you. We'll start with Isaac while he has service, which is important. What kind of captain are you? Before the tournament starts, the All-Stars, are you going to be giving a rah-rah speech, like, the... making sure that everybody has matching hats and kind of like this team camaraderie? Is that the kind of captain you are, or are you more of like a free flowing, I trust my team, that's why I picked you, no problems?
Yeah, I'm a free flow kind of guy. Okay. I picked them fully confident in their abilities. I don't need to tell them stuff they already know.
Nice. Calvin?
Yeah, I don't have any speech, but I'll probably get everyone together and let them all know that Anthony is the most valued member of my team for, you know, actually picking a doubles team for us. And then let everyone else know that I'm disappointed in their lack of communication until after I submitted the rest of the teams and the doubles team generator app. So, perfect.
Will either one of you be initiating a curfew for your team?
Yeah, some rules.
No, absolutely. No, I can't control them.
Absolutely. Absolutely will.
What's your curfew going to be?
8:30.
I'm thinking like 9:43.
Oh, that's after my bedtime anyway, so I'm safe.
I hate to ask, but do you guys have any idea when the event will start?
Yes, the doubles will be on Saturday, and the singles will be on Sunday, and the skill shot contest will be on Friday.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So just be around your phone and wait for the notification to pop up on when it's going live.
I don't want to ask this question either, but I'm hoping somebody knows. Is there any way to track this event on your phone? Other than the DGN.
Oh yeah, UDisc or sorry.
Because there's no UDisc, so do you know?
That's a great question.
I asked on the social media post from DGPT, and I got a lot of funny responses, but nothing, nothing came of it. It was bizarre.
I don't know.
I guess we just have to book our tickets.
Calvin, can you just text me how you're playing?
I'll put together like a Google Sheets document that I can make public, and I'll like plug in the scores from every hole into it, so everyone can tune into my Google Sheets. And
that's good practice for the season. Yeah. We're all gonna have to be doing scores, so that is good practice. All right, I guess, you know, we got a couple minutes here before we have Missy coming on, who, honestly, at this point, we get all the information we need. I don't even know why Missy's coming on. But anyone that's in the area, could you, like, I'll give you guys a few minutes on, like, why they should come out and watch you guys play this weekend.
Yeah. Well... It's gonna be a fun one to watch, I think. I think with the safari layout of Olympus, and I think the doubles match especially would be really fun because you're gonna see stuff. You know, you're gonna see people go for shots that they wouldn't usually go for. So there's always that excitement. I think the doubles teams are pretty good. I'm gonna have to carry my team a good bit, but you know, that's just how it goes. Picking up Ezra slack, but. Yeah, come watch the doubles. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's I think doubles is a format you don't get to watch. I think that'll be pretty exciting. And I mean, I guess we get it a little bit of head to head as far as the singles matchups go. So that's also pretty exciting. We don't really have last year. We didn't get a match play tournament like we had the couple prior events. So I know this is not quite match play, but still kind of a head to head feel. But yeah, I mean, you have, you know, some of the best performers from, or I guess all the best performers from last year, coming out and playing. So it's definitely a good chance to, you know, get up and close to, you know, some of the best players in the world. And I do think it's probably going to be a lower turnout. So I think it'll be easier to, you know, talk to your favorite player if you're into that kind of thing.
Also, call to action. Let's not make it a smaller turnout. Go out there and support these guys. They earned it. Whole entire season.
Okay. I agree with that, but just picture this. You can only buy one ticket. Are you going to go to the event that has 24 players or the one that has those same 24 players plus another 150? Or
yeah,
whatever,
but
it is, 100.
But I can't see Alden doing the shot shaping at the other event.
That's true.
You can watch Alden shot shape the entire course.
You make a good point.
Not just a fake hole we set up.
Yeah, you make a good point, and this is going to be something I'm going to have to.
I don't know why you guys are the captains. I'm going to say it. I'm going to throw it out there. I don't know how they came up with this.
Honestly, Yuli, I'm starting to think they aren't the captains. I'm after this interview, they might not be the captains. I'm not sure. All I know is Isaac has terrible Wi-Fi where he is.
He's gone.
Ego.
I think he's done, but okay. Well, yeah. We wish you guys both the best.
Seriously,
of luck.
Yeah.
I think you know. Hopefully, you guys have a lot of fun. I think ultimately, that's what this event should be about: is the players having fun, the fans having fun, us tuning in and watching and having fun. But yeah, have a good time down there, Calvin. And I know we'll see you in a week or so.
Sweet. Yeah, I look forward to seeing y'all down here.
All right. Appreciate you, brother. Take it easy. All right, there's the captains on the MPO side. Wow. All right. Well, I don't think we could have promoted the All-Star event better than that, Yuli.
I felt like that went exactly how I figured it was going
to
go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wasn't able to ask all my questions. I wanted to know, like, how are they doing the putting contest this year?
They don't know.
Where?
There's no chance.
How is the long drive happening? But
no clue.
Again, no idea why we have Missy Gannon coming on, because we got all the information from Calvin and Isaac. They literally talked to us for 45 minutes and they knew everything that was going on this weekend. But we have one of the captains here with us on the FPO side. Missy, thank you for joining Tour Life again.
Thanks for having me. Hopefully it works out a little better this time.
Yes, yes. Well, you can't do worse than what Isaac's Wi-Fi just did. So I don't know if you tuned in to Isaac and Calvin. They had no idea what's going on. Do you have any idea what's going on this weekend?
I tuned in a little bit at the end there. It was getting crazy. You guys were a little off the rails, but we don't have a ton of information. I do know what days we're doing certain parts of the competition, but other than that, I don't really know what time. So I think I'm about in the same boat as both Isaac and Calvin.
Are you down in Brooksville right now?
Yep. Got here last night, played my first round this morning.
Okay. And I'm assuming you guys are playing a different course layout than the MPO side.
Yeah. I want to say a majority of the holes for the chess.com invitational, we had a shorter basket. We play all the same tees, I believe, though. And then for the All-Stars, I think we play a slightly different layout. There are two different layouts on U-Disc, which is kind of funny. I think it's a little different on both for both occasions.
Okay, I'm going to run through the teams here for those that don't know. Here are the teams we have. Owen's team has Kat Murch, Hannah Bloomroos, Haley King, Jessica Weiss, Macy Valdez, and then Team Missy is going to be Holland Hanley, Katrina Allen, Sarah Holcomb, Ella Hansen, and Allie Smith. How are you feeling with your team going into this weekend?
I'm feeling great, and apparently the other captain isn't here, so maybe she's more scared than I thought she was. But no, I'm feeling good. I actually absolutely not lying at all. I predicted every single pick that she picked in the exact order that she picked it in.
Wow.
I did. So yeah, it kind of went exactly how I thought, and I'm I was prepared, and I knew who I wanted if I was right, and I was. So I feel really good.
Was it like a kind of a little sneaky pick to where you're like, oh, interesting pick. That's interesting you did that. To try to like showboat a little bit to be like, oh yeah, please don't pick this next. Did you kind of will her into those picks? Or was it just like, I picked this person, I picked this one. Okay, boom, 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 boom. And then you're like, yeah, I read you like a book. Thanks.
I did let her know afterwards that I read her like a book. but I didn't try to like influence her picks at all. I just kind of had a plan, and it ended up working out exactly the way I thought. So, yeah.
And how was the, when you guys were picking, was it fun? Was it a little back and forth? How did that go?
Yeah, it was fun. You know, we both like kind of going back and forth and having that like friendly but competitive banter. I don't always catch everything that Owen says. She talks kind of fast, and then obviously, you know, I have a hard time sometimes hearing her, but I do know that she's talking a little smack. So
yeah,
it's fun.
Yuli brought up an interesting like potential change in the system of how the All-Star event works. What are your thoughts on future players, like the captains, aren't people that are actually competing? So you would have, maybe in this instance, you would have like, let's throw out like a Juliana Korver, and you know, maybe even like a Paige Pierce, because she can't compete right now. Those two would be like the captains. Do you like that idea, or do you like the fact that you're a captain and you're also competing?
I don't know. I mean, this is my first year being a captain. I don't really know if it's going to, you know, affect me at all in any way. You know, I do like how they do at the President's Cup at the European Open, how it is the captain of the USA team and the European team are not playing in that event. It's kind of fun for them to walk around and watch and, you know, see how their team's doing. I'm not going to necessarily have all of that insight. I don't think. I think you guys were talking about how we're going to be able to keep track of scores.
We don't know. Calvin's making a spreadsheet that he's going to send out the link to. That's what we got so far.
I think it could be a really cool idea. I think that this All-Star event is developing. Like we see this year, the skills competition isn't part of the team event. They're allowing, you know, we're going to have Eliezra and a lot of other players here that aren't technically All-Stars competing in the skills challenges. So we could see that sort of, you know, showcasing other people as well as the All-Stars. So I think they're developing it as we go. I'm always up for trying different things, especially for a fun exhibition event like this, for sure.
How did you end up deciding your doubles matchups? Or I guess you didn't do the matchups, but how did you match up your doubles?
Yeah. So again, like it did kind of play out the way I thought it was going to. So I had an idea. If I got the players that I did, then I kind of already knew who was going to play with whom. You know, you kind of want people to complement one another. So, you know, I don't throw super far. So I wanted to make sure that I was paired with somebody who does have, that extra distance and also has a strong forehand. And so that was pretty easy. It could have been either Ella or Holland, really. And at the end of the day, and then, you know, I honestly just wanted people to feel comfortable with one another too. So, you know, Sarah and Kat vibe, Allie and Ella vibe, you know, and then Holland and I vibe as well. So, it kind of all really worked out in terms of skill and also, you know, how people I think will play well together.
Sure. I think that's a big thing in other big events like this, like President's Cup or Ryder Cups or whatever, is making sure that you're meshing two personalities with each other that are mm-hmm. Not going to kind of get in each other's way type thing. So there is a skill to that as well. And it mm-hmm. sounds like that you kind of had all that planned out already. So that could be an advantage. We'll have to see.
I hope so. I mean, they're all like buddies on Owen's team too. You know, but we'll see. I think it's going to be good. I was going for skill, you know, and experience. Like I said, Sarah Hokum, well, I said during the draft that, you know, Sarah has played Throw Down the Mountain a ton. She won in 2021 there. Yeah, the layout's a little different, but for the most part, a lot of the holes are very much the same that I've seen on coverage. So yeah, there was some strategy there too. I wanted people that were also familiar with the course. And people that can stay in the fairway, because this course could really bite you with all of the whatever sawgrass and all of that stuff. You really got to keep it in the middle. Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
Question: Is Alexis Mandahano on site? Because she was the one that I thought stole the show last year. Same. Because she was the best putter, not just in FPO, but in the entire event, the entire field. So yeah. I saw that she wasn't an all-star this event. Mm-hmm. It would be a shame if she wasn't there competing in the putting.
Yeah, I cannot imagine that she wasn't invited at the very least. Especially because, again, they even highlighted her recently on social media just about that. You know, because I do know that they invited Paige for distance. She just kind of wasn't at that stage yet with the power. So, you know, they definitely, I can't imagine they didn't send her an invite. I just don't know if she's able to make it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are you liking your chances, I guess, now that the skills competition is like thrown out and it's just doubles and singles? I think it's a lot easier to kind of predict what's going to end up happening, or you have a better sense, I guess, of what you think is going to happen. Do you like how the matchups are right now, doubles versus doubles against Owen's team?
I think so. Yeah. Well, I honestly don't really know what the matchups are going to be.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really does. So it's okay. We didn't get any information from the guys. So no problem there.
Yeah. No, I do think, though, that from last year, I believe, you know, since I'm the highest or whatever, the top seed on our team and then owns the top seed on her team, I assume it's like our doubles team versus the doubles team that she's on. So
it would be
Owen and
well.
I versus Haley and, or sorry. Yeah. Haley and Owen versus Holland and I. So, I think that's great. I think it's going to be, extremely fun, at least that particular card. And I think that we both have just such a, both teams are just going to be really strong. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be fun.
How about the time that you guys have had kind of off with the off season and then having to come kind of straight back? Obviously, you better be ready because the next weekend we have the chess.com. But it seems like kind of a long break from, okay, these are the best players from last year, and now they're playing in 2024 for the All-Stars of 2023. Are you fine with that? Or would you rather see it like, you know, I made a suggestion of like halfway through each season, that's when the All-Stars are for that season. You have the All-Star and then it's, you know, the rest of the season, and then you don't have to worry about it until the next year.
Yeah, I think that it would be it would be more fun to, well, it's hard to say. Yeah, I think that I don't want to extend the season longer, right? I was about to say doing it at the end of the year, but I feel like that just kind of gets a little crazy. So maybe something like towards the midway point of the current year would be a fun time. I know that they, you know, when they tried to do the match play, that seemed to be not a lot of people attended that event.
Could have been location too for that.
Absolutely, for sure. And I think we had to like rush back from the Pacific Northwest or something to get there, something like that. It was definitely a lot. So maybe if the scheduling was done in a, you know, a logistically like, you know, good way,
yeah,
more people would attend. But I also think that it was kind of fun because I definitely kept my eyes on players on social media, who was doing what. I knew you went that far. I did. Yeah. I take stuff seriously. So I knew like Holland was working on her course and obviously playing a lot just because she was, you know, working on her own course and then trying to make it really challenging for herself personally. I know she was going to the gym because she was trying to drag my butt there with her when she was visiting in November. So it was kind of fun to, you know, keep tabs on people and see who was doing, who was keeping up.
Nice. Well, we know you're gonna have a very busy week trying to learn all the stuff that's gonna be happening in the next couple of days. I guess you guys have media day tomorrow. That's kind of exciting.
That I know for sure. 3 p.m. I will be there.
Oh, there you go. 3 p.m. Yeah. Do you know if any of that is going to be broadcast or anything? Like, are they doing like a Q&A or kind of, they had you guys, I think last year, they do like the captains would like face off and try like, is any of that stuff happening?
I don't believe that Media Day will be broadcasted. I do think we are having a press conference. Much like we normally do. I don't know if it's going to be like a face-off thing, but I do remember an email going out about a press conference for All Stars. And I'm hoping that'll be live streamed, depending on who subscribes to DGN, I guess those are the people that will get that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Well, we wish you the best of luck, Missy. We do appreciate you taking the time to hop on here. Let us know how everything's going. And just enjoy the week. Have fun. We will be watching for sure.
Yeah, cool. Congratulations on being the captain too and your team and the rest of the All-Stars making this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Take it easy, Missy. There you go. Captain of the FPO. She was on the red team. I'm going to say red team. Red team there. Missy Gannon. Always appreciate having her pop on. Let's jump into now. The Disc Golf Pro Tour announces the 2024 qualifying series, which they are calling the Q Series. This was something that we kind of saw coming with the silver events and the silver events going away and being less important. So they have now created a qualifying series. This is designed to offer FPO and MPO players a new pathway to earn their place on the 2025 tour. Another way to qualifier series of PDGA A-tier events with separate point system and series finale. This will award 6 MPO and 4 FPO players 2025 tour cards to local and up-and-coming pros, plus partial silver cards awarded to individuals as Q Series winners. We also have the list of events that will be a part of the Q Series. So the 303 Open in Denver, Colorado. We've got the Capital of Texas Open in Austin, Texas. Cascade Challenge in Shelton, Washington. Infinite Disc Beehive Classic in Ogden, Utah. The Kansas City Wide Open in Liberty, Missouri. The Discrafts CCR Open in Holt, Michigan. Diameter Open in Port Hope. Ontario? Must be Ontario. Yes. And the Mary Sunshine House Classic in Seneca, South Carolina. Now, just looking at this, Yuli, the first thing that jumps off to me is this does not look like easy for someone to compete at. These are all over the United States.
It is. but I don't think it should be easy. That's what I'm going to say right away. I don't think it should be easy. I think that if you're looking to make disc golf your career, standards have to be set, and they're going to have to be set high. If you look at like other places that have tour cards, like it's tough. It's tough to get those spots. They're coveted spots. They're coveted things. Like, you have to earn them, and you have to show that like you're willing to grind and go across the country and grind it out. And maybe, you know, like let's say you play 5 of these events, half of them you're missing the cut, but then two of them you just have like a breakthrough performance. You win one of them, you take second at the other one, and then all of a sudden you have an exemption for 2025. Like, I feel like there's a lot of storylines that can come out of that, and that's something that I do like. Now, as far as they're spread out everywhere, yeah. Should they all be in one state? Like, should they all be within three states? I don't think so.
Well, here's my issue is like...
Are you saying time?
My issue is like, you're not making money on any of these. Like, people that are playing these events don't have sponsorships that are going to be paying for them to fly or drive across the country to play these. My question is, why did they go this route? Why did they go this route of having these all over the place? Why didn't they do something where it was like, hey, there's these five events in the Southeast, there's these five events in the Northeast, five events in the Midwest, five events out in the Northwest, the Midwest, five events in the, you know, why didn't they do like sections and then you qualify out of your section and then from there you go to like the big qualifier and then that's how you did, like, why didn't they do something that, like, if I have a 9-to-5 job and I am grinding, right? I'm working 9-to-5 and then I get off my job and I'm practicing. Like, I can't just quit my job and like try to.
But that's not the way the real world works in sports. Like, it's either you're all in to do this dream and you go and do it, or you're not. Like, I have no sympathy for somebody who is doing that, because I live that life of, we didn't have a tour and I played every single weekend across the country to make nothing, to make zero money, just because I love to do it. So I might be the wrong person to even ask.
Yeah, because I don't think, me personally, if your goal is to try to get the best players in, if your goal is to try to find new talent, you got to make that to where it's easy for people to enter. And then the cream rises to the crop. This might just be whoever has a, what is it called when your parents have a bunch of money for you? What do you call those kids? What do you call that? You're just a blah, blah, baby.
Trust fund.
Yeah. This might as well just be called the trust fund series, right? Because you're going to have people that have a lot of money do well in these.
I don't know, man.
Like, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. Because if you're going to do this, it's not, I think you're looking at it all wrong.
Am I?
I think you're looking at it as, okay, these are the events and these guys are just focused on these events. If you're making this a career, you're playing other tournaments as well as these. You're going and finding A tiers to play at to make money to go to the next one.
Yeah, but you're talking about like these people that are literally trying to make ends like week after week. Like, I'm talking about like the James Proctor, right? The guy that should have been on the Pro Tour for so long but wasn't, because the money just wasn't there yet. Like, I want those guys that, hey, I'm not in a position. I have a family. I have kids to feed. I'm not in a position to just throw out that all away to now I'm just living in a van, driving around, playing in C tier and B tier events, trying to make money. Like, I want those people, or also kids that are just out of college, like, go get a job and then potentially work your way onto the tour, right? Like, is that not...
I mean, I feel like if you're talking about that same story to somebody who's trying to make it on another tour, it's not going to be that. Like, there's no halfway point. You know what I mean? Like, very rare do you hear somebody who's like, okay, I'm a pro at this golf club, and then I entered into this tournament, one tournament, right? On the, let's say, a qualifier to get in the PGA tournament. And then they go in that tournament and then they play really well and they get an exemption. I mean, when's the last time you
heard of those guys are playing in mini tours that are regional. There are tons of mini tours in golf that are regional.
Yeah, I'm saying. We have those. It's called the C tier and B tier tour.
Yes, I know, but this is now telling you you have to travel far outside of where you would normal travel, because three of these events count. So if you live, let's just say you live in Georgia, right? For you to qualify, you're going to have to play in three events. What three events are you going to if you live in Georgia? You're going to the South Carolina one, mm-hmm. right? And then what? Missouri?
Sure. I mean, and you tried to make it on the PGA Tour, kind of, right? You tried to become a PGA Tour player. Where were the qualifiers for you? Was it an easy life? Was it easy for you to just find a qualifier right in your neck of the woods and play six of them around that spot and be like, okay, now I'm on the tour? No, you have to go and travel.
To qualify, though,
Korn Ferry.
Qualify for Korn Ferry, it's a couple different weeks, and they do have events all over the United States. Now, the guys that have the funds and have the money, they can kind of hand pick what course is going to suit them that they feel like they have the best chance. Also, it makes sense also to maybe look at the field and be like, this is a stacked field. They're only giving out four spots. Let me try to find another one. But I wasn't having to do three events across the United States. And then also, too, the thing with the Korn Ferry is I went to one event. If I made it out of that event, then I went to the next event. Like
This is not like that, though. Right? Yeah, I know. But how many people play golf? How many people play disc golf?
I mean, it's not close. Yes.
It's not close. So let's compare those two things. You get what I'm saying? Like, in like a perfect world, we'd have 100 events for everybody to try to qualify for the PDGA Tour. But we don't. Also, a really good question would be, are they filming those tournaments?
A good question. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know really what the payouts are.
Come back to you and be like, okay, this is why there's not a lot of events, is because they're trying to showcase these players, maybe final round or whatever. But I don't know the logistics as far as that goes.
There's not too much information about that yet. The other information they did say is that the top 25 FPO and the top 50 MPO qualify for the Q Series finale. So you play all these events, your top three finishes count, and then from that, those top players go to the Q Series finale. There's the same point distribution as the Disc Golf Pro Tour events, awarding 100 points to the winner, separate from Disc Golf Pro Tour World standings. And only players who have not earned a 2025 tour card can score Q Series points. And this is a big, big point for me. So the Q Series finale is only open to qualified players who have not already earned a 2025 tour card upon the conclusion of the Disc Golf Pro Tour season. If a competitor participates in the Q Series events, but then earns their 2025 tour card via other methods, right? So like you go, like you said, you qualify, and or they also have it to where if you end up being in the top 91 to 150, I think, world championship, world standings, and 46 to 80 for FPO, you qualify as well. They will no longer be, and they'll become ineligible to earn more Q Series points, ineligible to compete in the Q Series finale. So this is very interesting. Player eligibility, okay? To participate in a Disc Golf Pro 2 Q Series tournament, all competitors must meet the PDGA player requirements for the sanctioning level of the Q Series event in question and follow any other requirements as set forth by the tournament director. Competitors who have already qualified for a 2025 tour card may participate in Q Series events but will be skipped over for the purposes of awarding any associated Q Series benefits, silver cards, tour cards, exemptions, and points. So this kind of goes back, and I'm still on the fence on this. You're creating a series that you literally said, this is a new pathway to earn your spot on the 2025 tour. But you're allowing people that have tour cards
to come and play and take the money that's going to take from them to play in these events. Yeah.
And they don't get the points.
Yeah.
So like you could have the top 5 or 10 people could all be tour card holders. And so you finish 11th, but no, you really finish first. And I don't like that.
I don't.
And I think we went back and forth a little bit on this in the past, of where I think you actually brought up a really good point saying, don't you want the Calvin Heimberg to show up at one of these events to draw in the attention to the event? And I agree. Yes, that would be nice, but that's not what this event should be about. I don't think these events should be about, hey, let's try to get a bunch of fans to show up.
No, now
these,
that it's,
these, They should be about trying to get talent, new talent.
Now that this
into
is
the tour.
A way for new players to get on the pro tour, I don't think anybody with an exemption should be even be allowed to play in this event. Personally,
yeah, I don't get how
it's
got
to be. Like, if you have a tour card, you're not allowed to play in this event. Sorry, but this is a way for new players to play, earn, and you made a good point, earn money to go to the next spot.
Yeah.
Because let's say that, like you said, five other people, Ricky, Calvin, Eagle, they all decide to go to the Cascade Challenge. They take the top five spots.
It's just weird.
And then you get sixth place money, seventh place money, but you actually won, but you only got $500, and that doesn't even count. That doesn't even pay for your travels.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to push back a little bit here with Mark Myers, one of our Tour Life crew members. They said in the chat, a pro relies on their sport to make a living. People that work for a living and play disc golf on weekends for a few bucks isn't a pro. Now, I would agree with you to consider yourself a professional athlete or something like that. The naming of it being professional means that that is what you do to make a living. My pushback, though, is I don't think necessarily that's what needs to happen for this Q series to work. I think you can look at vastly or tons of different sports where you have guys that are working 9-to-5 day jobs, that have normal 9-to-5 jobs and are grinding outside of that to try to get better at their craft to one day maybe be an actual professional athlete. I mean, you look at the Olympics, ton of the people in the Olympics, that's what they do as well, right? They're not, you know, swimmers. They're a lot of them aren't swimming full time. They have normal jobs and they swim when they can and they go to the Olympics. Kurt Warner was bagging groceries for a bit. Yes, I think there was another guy recently that was working at a grocery store and is now a starter. There's stories like this that you can find in all the sports. So this idea, and this is why I was pushing back on you, Yuli, this idea that you're trying to create a qualifying series to get your tour card, I don't think that series should be like, hey, you need to quit your job and you need to go all in on this qualifying series. I think that's what it should be when you get your tour card.
I don't
think that's what it should be when you're trying to qualify.
I hear you. Let me rephrase what I think about that, okay? I think you're right. It should be open to everybody to do that, okay? I guess it's maybe the coach in me that's telling myself, you're not going to make it if you have both things. Because there's going to be somebody out there who's doing it all. And they're going, nope, I don't have a job. This is what I worked for 2 years. I saved up my money and now I'm going after this goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're going to have to compete with that guy. And so my advice to people when they ask me, what do I got to do? I always say, like, it's either there's no like halfway in the door, halfway out.
Because I agree with that.
That's where my mind goes, because I'm like, whoa, calm down. Like I had to go all out to get where I was. And so there's one path for me that works. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know this other path. I haven't lived that path. And so I can't then give the advice and be like, no, this can totally work. Because then I'm like not giving information that I know. Does that make sense?
It makes 100% sense, but I think where disc golf is right now, even being a top 50 player in the world, you're not even making that much money. Yeah. So this idea of like, hey, everyone just go all in, it doesn't make sense right now for disc golf. But if the Pro Tour got, you know, more money and bigger payouts, and in this Q series, let's even say this Q series, let's say the top 20 guys in Q series all are taking home $30,000. That notion of what you're saying, I can agree with you a little bit more than right now. It's like, hey, quit your job, try to make it on the Q series. Oh, you qualified, great. Like, you're not even guaranteed to make more than $10,000. I think I was
neither are you if you make the PGA Tour. That's sports, man.
You
miss every single cut, you're not making any money.
Yes, but if you make one cut, you're getting paid.
16 grand for last place. That ain't much, Brody. It's not like it's not like the guys.
It's better than me getting. I think I was. Someone just said I was like 35th or 37th in Disc Golf Pro Tour points, and I made $10,000. I mean,
yeah, it's
way
better than that.
It's way. Sure. It's way. I'm just saying. It's a different. Like, one is like disc golf right now is basically the lottery, right? Of where you're just like, maybe I am one of the top guys, and maybe it's much more like the lottery than golf. I mean, there are guys that are on mini tours that are making decent amount of money.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, it's way different. Yeah.
It's way different kind of in comparison. I'm telling you, dude, $4 million compared to $16,000 for last cash, for a tie for last cash. That's infinitely bigger than what we're dealing with.
No, I agree. I'm just talking more on the fact of like, if you were like, hey, mom and dad, right. I have a $60,000 job right now, but I'm quitting it to try to become a professional disc golfer. You better be really freaking good or really good in front of the camera.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Because if you're not either one of those, like that was a terrible decision.
Like I said before, you better not half-ass it, man.
Yeah. Now, 30 years from now, what we're saying right now can be completely stupid.
But I'm just scared. I'm scared for it because I don't want to see some kid doing both. Because in my opinion, it's unlikely they're going to make it doing both.
But you look like a Gannon Burr. Like Gannon Burr, I think, did it right. Like
he was 16 and an absolute phenom, the biggest phenom I've ever seen in sport. But, no, that's kind of crazy, Brody.
No. But he didn't drop out of school. He didn't drop out of school. He didn't just say, like, I'm dropping out and I'm just going full in on disc golf.
Like, no, but there's prospects in every single sports that have made it from the time that we see them and the talent that they have, and they don't have to worry about it because they're going to make it no matter what.
James Proctor is another perfect example. Like, he slowly worked himself into it to where he probably got the sponsorship. You know, he played enough tournaments where he started getting sponsorships.
Proctor could always go on tour and make it. He just didn't.
Yes, but there are people out there that I think it would be a very bad decision to quit their job and then try to become a professional disc golfer.
It's a bad decision for everybody except for like 15 people in the world. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying with this qualification thing. I don't want to see a bunch of kids.
But it's not about $5,000.
Going all over trying to qualify and then they lose.
Is sometimes it's not about that. It's about making it on the pro tour is the goal. You know what I mean? Like when I was out playing this time, I wasn't thinking, okay, I'm going to. Then when national tours for $1,500 every single weekend and I'm going to become a thousandaire, you know what I mean? I just wanted to be one of the best.
Yeah.
Sometimes sports comes down to that. Just wanting to be the best.
I just wish it was easier entry. That's my only thing. I just wish it was, I wish people didn't have to hop on a flight multiple times. Like if you don't live in one of these states, you're hopping on a flight probably two times to go play at these events. All right. Next thing, Disc Golf Network new subscription plans. There are now three subscription plans.
At least somebody's making money.
three subscription plans moving in for the 2024 season. Each plan will offer upgraded live DVR, 60 frames per second streaming, and instant playback after every round. So this first slide here is going to show us the three different plans. You have DGN Basic, DGN Standard, and DGN Pro. So what does that mean? For live tournament coverage, DGN Basic, you get the first round of all Disc Golf Pro Tour events and some of the majors. You also get you get full coverage of the Chess.com Invitational, the USW DGC, Champions Cup, Worlds Round 4 and 5, and the MVP Open. So that's basic. You just get one round, basically. If you want to see all the rounds, you have to do the DGN Standard. This is full coverage of all Disc Golf Pro Tour events and pro majors, excluding the European Open and USDGC. Those aren't included. The Disc Golf Pro Tour Pro, that's all the events and all the majors. Live bonus coverage for the basic, you'll have select bonus feature whole broadcasts. DGN Standard, same thing, select bonus feature whole broadcast. And then the pro, you'll have all the bonus feature whole broadcast and an alternate commentary stream. So that's going to be interesting. I don't know who's doing the alternate commentary stream, but maybe that is like some sort of, I don't know, players doing. I'm not sure what that's going to be. Tournament Central. Pre-game halftime comes with the basic. So I guess there's a halftime now in disc golf. I'm guessing that maybe halftime is in between FPO and MPO. That has to be what that means.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Okay. So you get pregame and halftime for basic and standard, and then you also get all day coverage plus bonus streams for the disc golf pro. Moving on to now features. So it looks like all the features will be 1080p, 60 frames per second. If you get basic, you can only watch it on one device. Standard, you can watch it on two devices. Pro, you can watch it on three devices. Jomez extra content only comes with standard for select content. And pro, you get all the Jomez extra content. Post pro coverage. All Jomez coverage ad-free comes with standard. All Jomez coverage ad-free also comes with pro. So if you don't want any ads in your post-pro coverage, you got to go standard or pro. And then if you want ad-free live coverage, so you don't ever see any commercials, that is only available for pro, which is interesting because we kind of talked about this of where, hey, pay-per-views, normally, like, there aren't ads being run, like commercial breaks and pay-per-views, but in Disc Golf Pro Tour or Disc Golf Network, there are. Now it seems like they are going away from that, but only on the pro level.
What more are the price points?
We're getting there. We're getting there. Some more benefits. Standard, you get 20% off the Disc Golf Pro Shop and Jomez. You get 10% off the Disc Golf Pro Tour tickets. Pro, you get that, as well as two free general admission tickets to a Disc Golf Pro Tour event and the exclusive monthly newsletter. Prices, let's talk it. All right, here we go. This is what everyone wants to see. For the basic, monthly base price, $5.99 a month. If you're a PDGA member, it's free. For yearly base price, $59.99. PDGA member, NA. Not really quite sure. I'm thinking that's still free because that makes sense. Disc Golf Standard, $12.99 a month. Or $5.99 a month for PDGA member. That comes out to $129.99 a year and $69.99 for PDGA member. And then pro for base, $19.99 a month. PDGA members, $12.99 a month. That comes out to $239 a year or $139 a year. Now, initial reactions to this from some of the fans. We had a tweet that went up that said, probably would have been a good idea to go one season without major stream quality issues before adding a more expensive option. That ended up getting 46 likes. And then we also had this this funny picture here that said, sounds like YouTube live streams, but with more steps. And it's just a bunch of confused people.
How many likes?
That one, I don't know if that one got maybe 6 likes or something like that. Now, this guy broke this down. This was incredible. This guy broke this down of what he thought was valuable and what he thought was like not valuable. So the first thing he said is, did they run this through a calculator? These discounts are widely varied. So what he's basically saying is the discounts between the monthly and the yearly is not the same across the board, which you'd think it should be. Like if you're a PGA member, your discount to yearly for standard should be the same discount you're getting if you're a PGA member from pro, right? And it's not, because one is $5.99 a month and then it goes up to $69.99, and this one's $12.99, it goes up to $13.99. So those aren't the same. He also goes on to say the difference between standard and pro is European Open and USDGC, which for this tier essentially makes them both $35 pay-per-views. Basic non-PDGA is the dumbest thing ever, which maybe he has a point. Live bonus coverage. No, who has time to consume all this content? So he doesn't really think the live bonus coverage matters. He does like the good, he says it's a good feature for live, pause, rewind. I agree with him. I think that's the best feature they're adding, is that you can pause, you can rewind. I love that. Tournament Central, that's not, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with him. I don't think that's really something that I add too much value to. I'm going to skip to this other guy, because this other guy broke it down for those that are trying to figure out what's the best way to like go about this, because it is a very difficult thing to kind of grasp. He says January, go free. February, go free, because chess.com is free all rounds. March, you go with the standard. April, you go with the standard. May, you go with the standard. June, you go with the standard. July, you go pro. Pay the little extra because that's when the European Open is. August, you go standard. September, you go standard. October, you go pro because that's what the USDGC is. And then you go free for a total of $67.92. So that might be the way to do it, Yuli. If you're trying to figure out what's the best cost way, instead of like going in with the yearly, and then like some months you're like, I'm not, what am I paying this yearly membership for? What am I getting? You can get pretty much access. If you're like interested in just watching, you can get access to pretty much watching all the content for $67.92.
Seemed like that guy nailed it.
Yeah. But this is a very confusing thing with all these new features they've added. And I feel like some of this criticism is a good point, but where it's like, we haven't seen the Disc Golf Network nail anything yet. So how confident that you're going to be paying for something and getting back what they're offering?
Yeah,
that would be my worry. But what are your thoughts on like this two-tier system now? Too complicated.
Right. If I'm just like normal guy and I try to take it to scenarios where I would use it.
Yeah.
Right. I would be completely fine with it because I don't really know much. You know what I mean? Like if I want to watch a show, like I sometimes just download one of the apps like Paramount to watch a show that I think I'm going to enjoy. And I just download it and then undownload it or whatever. So I'm just paying for things that I enjoy to watch. As far as like the price points, I think that one guy kind of nailed it. As far as what I would do is I would do that same thing. I'd be like, where's my value? Let me research it. And this is what I'm going to, and this is how I'm going to do it. But there are going to be people. $239
a month is a year is crazy.
How much?
$230. If you're not a PGGA member and you want the pro, it's $239 a year.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big big subscription program. A
lot of money.
But to each, this is another thing. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's to each his own. It's they own the business. They can put the price point for whatever they want, and it's up to you to pay for it.
The only thing I'm worried about is like the thing that really blossoms the sport the most is getting eyeballs on it. Getting being able to sit, tell your friends, hey, come over. We're gonna watch disc golf. Hey.
It's true. Hey, and that's up to us though too. That's no, up to
I know, but it's a lot harder to be like, oh, how do I watch it? And be like, oh, well, you just have to like pick one of these tier systems and download this app. And hopefully they have ways of also doing some free stuff in there. You know, like a couple things where it's like, hey, this tournament, we're gonna do it free on YouTube. So it's easy for people to get. We'll see how it works out. I mean, I still have a lot of faith in Jeff Spring. I just worry sometimes, man.
We're always worried sometimes
with like.
But
it feels like this is a big project. That's all I'm saying.
It is. I agree with you. That's why I always go back to like, what can I do? Do my part. Make sure that I'm making fans that want to watch me, and then I'm part of the pro tour. I'm part of that process, unfortunately. So hopefully. I make a couple lead cards and I get a couple subscriptions going in there. You know what I mean? The people want to watch.
Aswell just joined Tour Life Crew to say, here's my issue. The new system removed being able to access via Xbox app, which is what I always used to watch. Interesting.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
So no more DGN on the Xbox app.
That sucks.
I don't know if that's like a massive marketplace, Aswell, I think you're probably in more of the minority, but still that does suck to be.
He's not the only one. I know that.
He's definitely not the only one, but it also sucks. Like, you have a product that you're used to watching a certain way.
Yeah, that's the worst.
All right, let's get into the wild story of the week here. This is coming in from Scott from Durham, North Carolina. So it's Tuesday night, and I'm playing random doubles at a local short course called Cornwallis Park. There's a small backup on hole 18, and I'm on the tee box waiting to throw while the group in front of us finishes up. Behind me, my teammate is trying to teach a newer player how to throw a backhand. His method was having the new player grip the disc to throw while my partner held the back of the disc with both hands to give him resistance while he kind of walked through the motion form, I guess. So as I stand on the pad warming up, I just happen to turn around the moment the newer player yanks the disc right out of my partner's hands and throws, to this day, the fastest, flattest, best backhand he's ever thrown to this day with a high-speed driver and hit me directly in the bridge of my nose, full speed from inside 30 feet away. It knocks my glasses off, breaks my nose, and I end up with 7 stitches. If I hadn't been wearing glasses, I promise I would have lost an eye. Immediately, I go down to the ground, blood everywhere. My teammate helps me walk to my car, drives me to the emergency room, then goes back to doubles, finishes the last 2 holes by himself, ties for first place, and is waiting for me at my house when I get back from the hospital with winnings from doubles at the poker game that I have weekly at my house. Yuli, you're a big coach. You've got your own academy. You've got all this. Have you ever implemented the let me grab the disc behind you and you try to rip it from my hands technique?
No. I try to keep the disc out of the people's hands when I'm coaching them. No disc. Set the disc down. And then I try to guide their arm without a part, because I have seen this happen before. I've seen them try new stuff. Resistance and the thing goes training. Straight right, straight left. Sometimes if they have really good form, we can keep the disc in there, but no, that's a big no-no. Please don't teach people. Okay. I've seen this before. I think you probably have too. To where somebody's holding it. Yeah, you feel that? Yeah. Then I could just see it.
Lings right out. All right. Well, if you have a crazy story, send it in to interndavid@wildstorytour@gmail.com. That is wildstorytour@gmail.com. And we might just read it right here on Tour Life. All right, let's jump into Edwin's stats. I think it's fair to say this is a fan favorite. Edwin's stats, good one this week. This is the analysis, Yuli, of wooded versus technical, wooded / technical holes versus open holes in 2023. And I just want to say he uses wooded and he uses technical, because I think sometimes when we think of wooded courses, we think of a course like Northwoods Black, where there are trees everywhere and you get off the fairway, you know, you're in the woods. He basically went through all the Jomez flyovers and broke down every single hole that we played last year. This was all the elite and majors, and he put them into 2 buckets, technical and open. Technical were still some holes that required certain shots. So they might not be on the most wooded courses, right? Where if you get off the fairway, all of a sudden you're scrambling. But there are some holes that we played on what you would consider maybe like a golf course or like somewhat of an open layout, but the hole itself was technical. So I just want to make that that point before we go into it. So what we're looking at here, 62% of holes played on tour were wooded / technical. The birdie rate and accuracy stats, fairway hit, greens and regulation, are significantly lower for technical holes. That kind of makes sense. A shot that requires a specific shot is going to produce probably lower birdie rates than allowing players to throw whatever shot they are comfortable with. So we see that with 31% birdie rate for technical holes, with a 37% birdie rate for open holes. Some other stats, if you want to look at it, the fairway percentage for open was higher, parked was higher, greens and regulation was higher, and greens and regulation for circle 2 was also higher as well. Now, if we're looking at birdie rates compared between technical and wooded holes on par 4s and 5s, the difference is very similar for also long and short holes. So if you look at birdie rates by par, The technical first open, there was a little bit of an increase of birdie rates for par threes. So, right, like you only have one shot, but there was a massive increase between par fours and par fives, which makes sense, right? Like if you're requiring someone to throw two technical shots, or on a par five, you're requiring them to throw three technical shots, the birdie percentages are going to be different, right? They're going to be lower. So that's what he also found there. Now, long holes versus short holes. Let me make this a little bit bigger so I can see it. Hold on one second. Sorry, my old eyesight is kicking in here a little bit. So long holes versus short holes on the technical and open side. We also saw that the long holes on open, lot more birdie percentage, the birdie rate was a lot higher. And also we saw that short holes, the birdie percentage was also higher on open holes. Something that's not too surprising, the OB rate for open holes was 22%, while the OB rate on wooded holes was only 7.7. Not that many courses. I'm trying to think, like Brewster has, like that's technical and has OB. What other courses?
Idlewild, big time.
Idlewild is another one. Good one. Can't really think. There's most of the technical courses we play don't really have OB as well. So that's not too surprising there. Now we're going to go into player performance by wooded and technical versus open. There were only 10 players. Or sorry, there were only five players in the top 10 for circle one greens and regulation for both technical and open holes. Those players were Calvin Heimberg, Ricky Wysocki, Eagle McMahon, Simon Lizotte, and Aaron Gossage. Any surprises there?
No.
I mean, those guys are incredible regardless of the course, right? That's why I made Calvin was so easy to pick when we were doing our picks last year, because it didn't matter what the course was.
Right.
Didn't matter if it was short, if it was long, if it was wooded, if it was open, he was going to do well. The largest difference though in ranking between technical and open, Andrew Presnell. Andrew Presnell was 26 in technical, but 64th in open.
Oh, wow.
So just the distance, is that what we're thinking there? Just yeah, doesn't have
I
the
think
distance?
So. I mean, he's just, he hits his lines, man, with that backhand.
So nasty.
Crazy.
So nasty. So Calvin was the top for technical holes. He was the top for open holes. He was the top for technical short. He was the top for technical long. We see him bump down actually to long open. He's second. Simon Lizotte, number one. Open long holes, and then open short holes. He's actually not even in the top five, which is a little surprising. Open short holes, you actually have Eagle McMahon. That's a little surprising to me. I'm a little surprised. I would have thought maybe like some other of those guys would be like open short holes. They would be able to put themselves in there.
Yeah, I would think Ricky would be my guy for that.
Not even the top five. Yeah, you have Nicholas Antilla, Joel Freeman, Alden Harris, and Simon Lizotte. And then obviously Eagle being number one. There were only three players in the top 10 for all four types of holes. That was Calvin Heimberg, Eagle McMahon, Simon Lizotte. And then the biggest difference here between open and long, or between open short and open long holes, AB, open short, he's number 51. Open long, he's fifth.
Wow.
Yeah, so 46% difference there. And then on the technical side, you have Corey Ellis. Corey Ellis was 48th for technical short, but technical long, he's third.
Oh, wow.
That's very interesting, too. Yeah. So when I think the reason for that, Yuli, is those technical short holes, some of them are forehands.
Yeah.
And he's very good backhand. His forehand is solid, but he is very good backhand. And so I think a lot of these technical long holes, they're not requiring you to go sidearm.
Yeah. Not often.
So all right, course breakdown. I thought this was very fascinating. In 2023, 30% of courses played were mostly wooded slash technical, while only 17% were mostly open. Calvin Heimberg led in average finishing position for both types of these courses. All right, so most technical courses, Yuli, you ready? Nevin, 100% every hole. Brewster's Ridge, 100%. Northwood Black, 100%. W.R. Jackson, 100%. Any guesses on the most open holes? The ones that are very little technical. Any guesses?
OTB?
OTB, he actually has... Let me see. OTB was 72% technical.
And then I would say 72% technical.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like hole two at OTB technically is technical. Hole three is technical. Like, yes, it feels open, but a lot of those holes, they did a great job of like making you have to hit gaps off the tee.
Let me think.
There's one, we interviewed this guy yet last week.
I was going to say Country Club, which is now Champions Landing.
Only 11% of that course is considered technical based off of Edwin's stats.
Huh.
The other ones were Wild Horse, which is no longer on the tour. You have Austin, the tournament we played in Austin, Harvey Pindick, and then also Fox Run.
Okay.
28% of Fox Run. Players with the top average finishing position, technical courses, Calvin's average finishing position was 5.5 on technical courses. His average finishing position on open, Yuli, is disgusting. 2. That's disgusting.
Don't find him in the wide open, man. You need to get some cover, bro.
You had Ricky being number 2 in both of those categories as well at 5.8 and 6. Then you had Kyle Klein actually in both as well. Kyle Klein was 4th in technical, 3rd in open. And then some guys that just showed up. Open courses, Ezra Aderhold, 4th. No surprise there. I mean, he shreds open courses. James Proctor, average finish for open, 8.5. Very, very interesting.
Really good.
And then I thought this was interesting as well. 34, that was the largest increase in average finishing position between technical and open, and that was Isaac Robinson. 12th in technical, 46th in open. So maybe there is this idea that maybe he doesn't throw far enough. Because that is a big jump between technical courses and open courses there for Isaac Robinson. That is Edwin's stats. Pretty fascinating stuff there.
I like that.
Pretty fascinating stuff. I think he's going to start digging into FPO. We're going to maybe get some FPO.
Sweet.
Moving forward. All right, let's do this week in Foundation Disc Golf. We have a subscription box restock. If you guys want to go check that out, those go really, really quick. So definitely go over to foundationdisc.com, check that out. We also are thrilled to announce the exclusive weekly text deals that offer incredible discounts on your favorite discs, merch, and accessories. Get ready to score amazing savings and elevate your collection. Each week, our team handpicks from our inventory or places a specific order to find the best deal we can possibly offer. We text you a limited time offer on the hand selected item. Text us back with how many of the disc slash item you want and your order is in. It's just that easy. If you're on your phone, click the link in the description or text the word join to. Why don't I have a number here, Silas? Oh boy. Is it in the description, Silas? The number? Oh boy.
It will be eventually.
Let me see. What is the number for people to text for the text deals? We'll see if I can get you that number real quick. But essentially what this does, Yuli, this is actually a brilliant, brilliant thing. If you just, you know, if you don't want to have to go on the websites and like try to figure out like what's on discount, what's our deals, you can literally just sign up with this thing and then we just text you, hey, Yuli Captain Raptors right now, you can get $5 off. How many do you want? Either be like, I don't want any of them, or be like, I want 5 of those. So you just write 5 and then boom, ordered. done. Like, that's it.
That is cool.
Because I think once you sign up, you sign in with your payment information, you sign in with your shipping address, you do all those. So it's just quick and easy. So I don't have the number. Hopefully I can get the number for you guys to type in. Otherwise, just go and click the link in the description. Yuli, I think someone was listening to Tour Life last week. We might have a problem on our hands, brother.
Oh, no.
The LHC Disc Golf Park at Scotlandville has a caution. Out-of-towners, beware. Do not play here. Gun shootouts and car break-ins. Apparently a dead body found. Go somewhere else. I think people are potentially doing this now to try to push people away from their courses.
When was that last updated?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I think people are listening to the podcast. And now they have infiltrated UDisc and are setting dead bodies are found on courses.
Don't do that out there.
Please don't do that. Do go to Dash's track and give it a 5-star, though. Do that. Here we go. Text 1-833-255-8270. Text join to 1-833-255-8270. That is the number. Text that number and that will sign you up.
Cool. Sweet.
All right, listener questions. Here we go. What is the best par 3 disc golf course that is still a challenge for pros?
Pure Park, Oregon.
There you go. Jaron wants to know, for those of us who haven't been in person to a DGPT event, what can we expect for player interaction, autographs, meet and greets, etc.? Does it vary by event?
Does vary by event, I feel like. It also varies by how well the players play from time to time, for sure. So there's been times, like, for example, when I play really bad, which is all was often last year, especially in the first half of the season, where I just didn't have the energy to like stop by the autograph tent for very long. So I would stay there for a couple minutes and then try to get out of there. Some of those lines get really long. I just don't. And I've had this asked a lot, and I'm sure you've had it asked a lot, but I don't want somebody to meet me when I'm at my worst, which when I play bad in disc golf can get me to my worst, because it's what I'm most passionate about besides my family, right? So I try to
It's a hard switch to make.
Exactly. And so it doesn't happen often, but sometimes I just have to get out of there and I have to digress over and, you know, really learn from my mistakes of what happened in the round and kind of go over those things. So when I say that, I'm sure that's happening with other players as well. And so it depends on how people play. For the most part, most people, I know Brody and myself, we always try to give our time after our round and sit down, go through the line, do our thing, and then leave. And you're always going to find, especially with like the fly marts and stuff, there's a lot of pros that stick around and even go sell their merch at those types of things. So there's different events that happen to where you can have that interaction. I don't get the opportunity to do that very often because I'm doing commentary. So after the round, I'm gone and I have other things obligations that I have to do. But I try to give as much time as I can. When I get there, I try to talk to a lot of people during the rounds. I'm very open to, if I see a kid or something and we have a little downtime talking or whatever, but for the most part, it's just, I guess, average from tournament to tournament.
Yeah. DJ Jazzy Jake.
Oh, wow.
Sick name. I've heard the take that people prefer to watch men's sports from Brody and Yuli before and wasn't surprised to hear it in the latest episode. My question is, to what degree does media coverage of the women's division impact the popularity? I would guess that when there's more coverage of the women's division, it becomes more popular. Some examples to consider: gymnastics, figure skating, MMA and the Rousey era, soccer in the U.S., A challenge to y'all might be to see what athletes you can name from those sports. I see no reason why, if media was focused on the FPO, it wouldn't become more popular. This isn't to say that it's y'all's job to single-handedly change this, I appreciate how much FPO content the podcast covers. So I'll take this one first. Because this obviously is something that we even are talking about, right? We want more people to pay attention to the MPO, to watch, like, not even just disc, like, to watch disc golf in general.
Right.
But on the FPO side, it's even, you know, they're looking at the numbers that MPO generate, and they're like, we want more people to watch us. And we're doing the same thing. We want more people to watch us. I think Bill Burr, if you haven't watched this bit, Bill Burr, I think, has a great, great, funny, it's very funny piece on this. We cannot play it on here because it is not PG, but it is, I think he makes a very good point. And basically what his point was, his point was more on the pay side, which I think is directly equivalent to eyeballs. The more eyeballs you get, the more money you get. Simple as that. And so you have a lot of women in sports saying, we want to get paid more. We want to get paid more. And his point was basically saying, there's a lot of women out there that are watching and paying attention to other things. For example, he made the point that Kim Kardashian, what does Kim Kardashian bring to the table? To me, nothing. Zero value. I don't think any of the stuff she puts out on TV, none of that interests me. But there are tons and tons and tons of people that interest in watching her life and seeing what she's doing on TV and following her on social media that have made her very, very wealthy, have made her tons and tons of money. So I think his point was simply like, you have to try to figure out how to get those eyeballs to you. Like, those eyeballs are not watching female compete. And he makes a funny thing saying, like, Desperate Housewives and all those kind of, or not Desperate Housewives, the housewife, what are those reality shows where, like, basically all these rich women are yelling at each other?
Yeah.
Right. Like, women, right now there are more people that are interested in watching women yell at each other and, like, put down each other than watching a women's basketball team try to work together to accomplish a goal. And that's just where we're at. And I think that's a great way of putting it, is like, instead of telling guys, hey, you guys need to pay attention to women's sports. Hey guys, you need to watch us. It's way easier to get women to pay attention to women's sports than guys to pay attention. We're trying to get guys to pay attention to disc golf. That's hard enough. To try to get guys to pay attention to women's sports, I think that's a lot harder than trying to get women to play. So the question is, how do you get women to stop watching the Kardashians and to watch women's sports? I don't have the answer to that, but I think that should be the question. I don't know if I did a good job answering that.
I think you did. I think you did a solid job, and I think you're on track. I think, my wife watches some sports with me, and when I'm not watching sports, she watches zero sports. You know, that's just the way that it is. How do I change that? Well, if she was a fan of a woman who was competing in the division, she would probably want to watch that, right?
Yeah,
I feel like that's the only way I could convince her to watch disc golf, is if she knew one of them, she was friends with them, and she says, no, I really like this, I want to see how they're doing. And so I think it comes down to super, like, the super athlete. That's what you have to,
they need to go outside the sport though, right? Because she's never going, if she's not watching the sport to begin with, she's never going to know who this person is. So that person has to be so massive that they're in shows, they're in movies,
sure,
they're on late
and then
night
she's
TV.
Watch that. Or, and,
right, like that, like, how,
or,
how is someone,
or
that
one
does,
time she meets him because she's with me or something, and then, sure, she's a,
well,
she's
now
a
we're
fan,
talking about like a much smaller thing.
I'm just saying in general, what it comes down is the superstardom that you bring. I bet you that's how it has to happen, right? It has and it's happening right now. I guarantee more people are watching right now because of Kristen Tatar than probably ever before.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing to watch. She has that. And that's why she's getting those big sponsors and stuff. And that's You need multiples of her. You need a bunch of those. You know what I mean? Because when you look at the MPO, it's a bunch of those. You got Anthony Barella. Insane to watch. Insane to watch. You know what I mean? Insane to watch. He does a good job of marketing himself as whatever that is. You have that across the board. Now, that's not saying you don't have that in the women's division, but I've said this before. I would love to see FPO division start marketing themselves more, because you do that on social media, all of a sudden there is somebody who looks at that and was like, wow, that's impressive. Wow. I never knew this person before. Now I'm going to follow her. Oh, she does this. You become a fan, and then you're watching. I think it's up to the division.
And really, we, you know, disc golf is at a massive disadvantage. When you really think about it, like what we do as far as just impressive or cool to watch, maybe you can watch it once or twice and you see it on Instagram and you drop a heart or something. But when you compare it to other sports, other physical talents out there, it's really far down on the totem pole. And there's not really, it's just the game we play, right? The stuff that you see in a football game, we're never going to be able to do anything that is as impressive as that. Well, and there's tons of sports like that. I mean,
yeah,
the high jump in the Olympics, like, that is never going to be able to compete against the NBA. It never will. Those two things are just vastly different.
The only way that you can compete in that area is your personality.
Yeah, you can have a crazy personality. If you get
your personality out there to where now people really know who you are, they feel like they know you and they can relate, and then you're that person.
And that's where you have to like transcend. Like Tiger Woods did that, right? Exactly. Tiger Woods was bigger than golf. He got outside of the golf market. Mm-hmm. Someone like Shaun White in snowboarding and skateboarding got outside. Tony Hawk got outside. He had his own video game to where now, like,
Michael Jordan.
Skateboarding was terrifying to me.
Yeah.
But I loved playing Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
And so that's where we, you know.
Even Conor McGregor, in a sense.
Yes. Outside of the sport. So, all right. Housekeeping here.
I got something.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. One more thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Well,
completely off topic, but I wanted to get in before the end of the show.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Discraft. My site is having a completely, a big renovation.
Let's go.
Completely wiped out. We're going to have all new merch, but before that, all the stuff that I have on there right now is going on sale. And we're just rid of all of it. So you're going to be able
Even need to text anything. You just freaking go to Yuli's Discraft site.
And it's all going to be on sale. We're doing a complete makeover over all of my merch, all of my disc, everything. And we're shipping all that other stuff out. And we're gonna come up with a completely different design scheme and everything. So be on the lookout for that. And if you want to get some Yuli gear right now for cheap, then go on discraft.com.
Jack wants to know, is that where we get that hat?
Yes. Yes, they are on there.
There you go. All right. Housekeeping, tour life. Oh, wait. Sorry. If you have a listener question, we made it a lot easier for you guys to send questions into us. The link is in the description of this video. If you're listening on audio podcasts or whatnot, maybe I'll start putting that in the description as well. Or you can come over to our YouTube and check it out. But there is a link for it for listener questions. I go through and I pick them out. Actually, we sometimes have our intern David do it as well. But that allows you, if you have a question tomorrow that you want us to answer next week, that's how you do that. All right, a little housekeeping here. Tour Life Crew, thank you to all of our new members. It's always cool to see you guys in the chat, seeing you guys use the emoji. I did make the Edwin Stats emoji, which I'm very excited. I'm going to put that in the chat right now. Bam. Very happy with how that turned out. I know how to make emojis now. So if you do, Tour Life Crew members, if you do have any emojis that you would like, I can make those now. I think we have like a couple slots open. Tour Life merch update. Silas, hit us with it.
All right. So for Tour Life, this was updated this morning, so not current day, but this morning, 169 for Tour Life, which was, I think, about 24 pieces
increase. Wow.
Last week, which is phenomenal. Next up, Grip Locked. We've got 161.
Go.
We're in the lead, baby. About.
Let's go.
That's Tour what I'm
Life.
Talking about.
Yes. Yes. If you haven't
Maybe it was
already.
That speech I gave last week.
They fired was, the people up. Fired the people up. If you guys haven't checked it out, go over to foundationdisc.com. Go to the Tour Life collection. And we have all sorts of different Tour Life stuff. Size, maybe we need to put your corn dog shirt in there.
Oh, corn dog vibes.
Yeah, we need to get a Silas shirt. Tons of Edwin Stats merch in there. We got Yuli Horse merch. We got Tour Life merch. New stuff probably hitting the site too, potentially this week or next week. So go check that out. We appreciate it. Shout out to all our Spotify and Apple podcast listeners. We have 955 reviews on Spotify, 257 reviews on Apple. And that is going to conclude another Tour Life episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Tune into the All-Star event because honestly, we have no idea what's going on.
But I'm going to watch.
No clue. But we're going to watch. And then we hopefully you guys watch as well. If you guys are still hanging around and you haven't hit the like button, that does actually help us a lot. So click that like button. It's completely free here on YouTube. We appreciate it so much. Yuli, Sias, do we have anything else?
Hit the sub button too.
Ooh. Yeah, hit that sub button. We're getting close. I don't what number are we getting close to? 35,000 or do we already?
Yeah, 35, I think.
35,000. Wow. Jeez. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys so much. We look forward to next week. Until then, have a good one.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.